What's going on, people? Headlines on March 22nd of 2019. Guys, today is a very important day in the history of the world. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear J.J. Watt, right, who turned 30 years old today. J.J. Watt, now 30. Isn't that an interesting number to put aside J.J. Watt's name? The guy who has been through, I would say, a whole lot on the injury front over the last couple of seasons. He is now 30 years old. That is weird for me to think of.
Yes.
Especially as I turn 30 in like 3 weeks.
How problematic is it that J.J. Watt is now 30 years old?
It's problematic in that he doesn't have a kind of game where you feel like, hey, he's going to be a guy that can come in and be a situational pass rusher when he's 36 years old and play long beyond expectations. I feel like this is turning a corner onto having to accept the mortality of J.J. Watt and however many years he has left. Is it less than four? We're not going to make a big thing out of it like we did. We didn't even try to make a big thing out of it like 4 years ago. Remember he had some little offhand comment to Peter King and it blew up into him like saying he only wanted to play 10 years.
Yes.
Or he's going to retire after this contract, whatever it might be. But I think it's fair to say, okay, he's on the back half of his career.
Definitely.
It's a little sad.
Yes. And I'm really operating with Watt on kind of a year-to-year basis.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen it thrown out there this week. The Triple Threat mentioned it. Some of the contracts they have up, like, would you redo Watt's contract? And with respect, no. Because the most important thing is for the best interest of the team. And since they have Watt locked up for the next couple of years, just move along, and you just hope that he stays healthy each year.
The other important thing about J.J. this time of year is that he hates that NCAA commercial where they show the kid like waking up in the morning and then going around at his typical day in an NCAA like class and the dining hall after practice and everything goes to bed. I despise that commercial. They're playing it like what, Paul? Every 10 minutes during the tournament here? And J.J. Watt said it was obvious that the NCAA has no idea what an average day in an athlete's life is like, including they don't wear their sweats all day long, like their team-issued sweats.
Also, the NCAA, very big on no gambling. No gambling. There are signs everywhere at all these arenas. You put money in on your bracket, guys, you are disrupting the games.
Well, that's not they're fine with the brackets. They don't want you doing your brackets with a bookie. That's the deal.
I don't know about
that. It's no gambling stuff wears me out.
I don't know about that. I feel like they take great offense to you putting $5 down into a company office pool for the tournament because they're not getting any of that money. That's the main reason, I think. Okay, so as we continue to go through headlines, this one is frustrating for me, fellas. The Indianapolis Colts, I think, have added a guy that the Houston Texans don't have an answer for. They signed Justin Houston to a 2-year, $24 million contract, finally making a move in free agency where they'd sat back and really been inactive for the most part. 9 sacks for Kansas City in 12 games last year. 78.5 over the last 5 seasons. Is he the same player he used to be? No. But is he significantly better than anything that Indianapolis could put on the field before? I would say yes.
It's a nice move. It's an upgrade. But looking at the Texans' 3 games against Indy this past season, they were already under siege against the Colts pass rush. So there's only so much worse that they can get.
Is there?
Yes.
I don't, man. I've been trying all morning to understand this line of logic. Like, your enemy gets stronger.
Yes.
So somehow you shouldn't worry about it because they were already like, hey, you've punched me in the thigh 10 times already. I'm not going to worry about you punching me in the thigh 10 more times.
Let me explain it this way. The Texans, we all know the Texans had a really bad offensive line, right? But there were games this past season where the offensive line actually wasn't that bad. There were games when it wasn't that bad. Let's say the Texans had played Indianapolis twice, and the same thing had happened. But the offensive line actually was pretty good, and they allowed, instead of 15 sacks, they allowed like 3 or 4. Then I'd say, okay, yeah, now I feel worse, because now in the 2 games they play this season with Houston on the field, now the Texans will be more compromised. The thing is, they were already giving up sacks to the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay, your chances of not having those games have gone down. Does this help? Can I talk to
yes.
you in a language you understand, robot language?
What's wrong with you, Mike?
Why is that crazy?
The likelihood of the Texans having a better game this year versus the Colts pass rush is now less.
Agreed.
Because they have Justin Houston.
I think it's a nice move. I agree.
All right.
I think it's a nice move
for the Colts, which means it's a bad move. So just because the Texans were already bad in pass protection, you understand that it can be bad that the Colts have gotten better at pass rush.
Yes, but I'm just saying that the Texans have already been performing poorly. It's not like this is going to – it's not like they're – again, this just makes sense to me.
Okay, Mike. You know what it is? In my mind, I was holding out for the hopes that somehow the Texans could get better than the Colts.
Agreed.
So this does not help that. It's like one aspect where it's harder for the Texans now to get better than the Colts through the draft and other improvements. Because this is a good – this is a move that strengthens the Colts.
That's fair.
All right.
I don't get you, Mike. I don't get it.
Is it really that complicated?
They're going to give him 30 sacks now as opposed to 5.
30. It really is. It's like saying, well, look, you already, they look, if they picked you off 5 times, but they get another defensive back, no big worry because you were already losing. Like, you know, it's possible to lose even worse.
Yes.
Like, Mike, it's possible to, instead of giving up 7 sacks, you can give up 10 sacks in a game like they did versus Jacksonville 2 years
ago. Here's my points. I would feel worse about this move if the Texans offensive line had been better against Indy this past season. That's the way I'd sum it up. I'd feel worse about the Colts signing Houston if the Texans had been better against the Colts pass rush. Because then I'd feel like, okay, now all of a sudden, Indianapolis beat you anyway, and now they're going to get even worse in this area.
I'm going to have to take a personal day to think about this, like Tuesday of next week. I'm going to go on a retreat. I'm going to go up to like Austin or something and eat a brownie and think about this by the lake.
It makes sense, trust me. The audience agrees with me.
Yeah.
He would maybe. You know what's the worst part about this is his last name. It's just going to be...
That's really confusing.
Oh, it's so
confusing.
Really, it's going to be really annoying when it's like, oh, a sack by Houston. And I can't wait for, like, who's the lamest broadcaster that the Texans typically get play-by-play-wise over the course of a season? Well, just imagine that person, whoever it is in your head, and that person's like, Houston, you have a problem. It's Justin Houston with the sack.
Oh, God.
That is definitely going to happen this season when he sacks Deshaun Watson in one of the 2 games. Lock it down. Write it down right now. When that piece of audio comes across your television, I'm going to throw my GD computer through a wall, and I will have to get a new computer, which actually will be a bit of an upgrade.
That's a great point.
Mike Meltzer claims that the audience understands him. Ryan Witzhusen texts in, Meltzer, you sound insane.
How does it not make sense? I still don't understand how it makes no sense.
It's
like saying, like, well, I've already got syphilis, so who cares if I get gonorrhea? Like, it's possible to have multiple problems or worse problems.
Agreed.
Like, oh, I've got, things can always get worse. Like, I hate to sound pessimistic here.
But all I'm saying is that if the Texans had protected Watson well against Indianapolis, I would feel way worse about this move because, like, that's my baseline I'd be starting from.
I just went bankrupt, but so it doesn't matter that now my wife is cheating on me too, because I already, like, she's like, I don't, you know what? You haven't had enough hardship in your life.
How
I think,
so?
Even though you're a Jets fan, that you don't understand that when things are bad, they can actually get worse. It's like somehow you're sitting here thinking, like, well, it was already bad. You already couldn't protect the passer. But, you know, like, Deshaun could bruise both lungs. You know, like, Deshaun.
Well, that's
could,
true. Yes.
Like many other worse things can happen because the Colts have a better pass rush.
Here's my bottom line to sum it up, because I know we're going in circles on this. My bottom line is the Texans played Indianapolis 3 times this past year. They allowed an average of 5 sacks per game. I'm going to go on the record as saying I'd be surprised if they give up more on average next season. We shall see what happens.
Not to mention, all right, this is the last thing I'll say about it, that you're going solely on sacks here, that somehow you're going to come in and say sacks reign supreme here.
We can go quick quarterback hits.
I'll talk about his ability as a run defender, too.
Okay, that's fine. That's a different topic, then. I'm not addressing that. I'm just saying pressure on Deshaun. In the quarterback hits they allowed to Indianapolis this past year, 27 quarterback hits over the last 3 games. What's that? An average of basically 9 per game? I don't think it's going to get much worse than that. That's my prediction. That's my expectation.
But it could have gotten better. All right, we're done. Honestly, I'm going to take a day, like Saturday or Sunday. I'm not going to watch basketball. I'm just going to think about this and try to, like, play devil's advocate and think that you've got a point here.
It's a genius take. Just trust me on it.
Houston.
Trust me on this.
Houston has a Houston problem. I'm just reminding you of that. That is going to happen.
Oh, would it be okay for us to use Houston, we have a problem, if we're talking about Justin Houston? We could flip it around. Like, if they just, if somehow Justin Houston has a horrible game when playing versus the Texans, then I feel like that's the one acceptable instance to say, Houston, we have a problem.
You guys got to stop with your positive spins. I can't deal with this. It's Friday, it's 7:30, and you know what? I'm all for positivity going into the weekend. But, Mike, it's fine. Yeah, Justin Houston, yeah, he's going to break Deshaun Watson in half. Houston, we have a problem. Seth's like, yeah, you know. That's the way I said it before. Okay, you didn't say it like that. The NCAA tournament, by the way, guys, it took place yesterday, but it was fairly uneventful, I would say. The only two upsets, Murray State beat Marquette and Florida beat Nevada, 12 seed over a 5 seed, a 10 seed over a 7 seed. I would like to see a little bit more. Also, Syracuse, die in a fire. I hate watching you, and I hate you.
Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Friday. Mark Vandermeer joins us in studio at the top of the hour, and he's going to help explain to us why the Texans have yet to sign an offensive tackle in free agency, something that is legitimately terrifying for me at this point. U of H tonight at 6:20 on TBS. They are going to start the NCAA tournament against Georgia State, whose head coach is Ron Hunter, and he made some waves with some intriguing comments about Kelvin Sampson yesterday.
I tell you, Houston's big advantage is coaching. They just got an older, much older coach than me, and and a better coach. But it should be a fun game, and I'm excited about it.
That was courtesy of Mark Berman, Fox 26.
And that was a few days ago. That was at least 2 or 3 days ago. It sounded when you saw, like, oh, that's funny. Like, it must be buds or something, or pals. I just read in the Chronicle this morning that apparently they're not that close at all, which is kind of if you're Kelvin Sampson, do you take a little bit of umbrage at that? Like, if I'm not that close with somebody and some dude that I don't know is calling me grandpa, much older, much, much older than me and everything, I feel like that's a little too familiar. Now, Ron Hunter is 51. So it's not like he's some young whippersnapper doing it. He's a bona fide adult, but he's 51, kind of taking shots at the age of a 63-year-old that he doesn't know that well. I feel like Corey Hunter in the group needs to...
Ron Hunter?
What's that?
Ron Hunter?
Davis. In the group.
Oh, Davis. Yeah.
Need to get personally insulted and take it to Georgia State that much more. I'm glad for this. I was glad to find out that Ron Hunter doesn't actually know Kelvin Sampson all that well, because now I have reason to dislike Georgia State. Now I want to see Houston bludgeon Georgia State into that hard court and have no mercy on them. Although one of our listeners, by the way, is a big fan, apparently, of the head athletic trainer for Georgia State.
Is that Osho?
He's quite, well, I didn't want to put him, never mind.
He's fine.
He's fine. He finds her very attractive.
Listen, if I mess
I don't want to put his business out there. He finds her very attractive.
Listen, Osho's texted as many women that he's found attractive. He's a happily married guy.
Settle down a little bit. You don't have to talk about all the women that he's texted us.
Well, he's just a normal
guy. He
appreciates
good-looking women.
Yeah, he does. But you never know what a guy's personal relationship with his wife, or how much she wants to know about what he's texting to the station or not.
I'd be shocked if he
throw his business out there. he's incredibly attracted to this trainer.
Guy talk is supposed to stay between guys, Michael Meltzer.
Yeah.
Apparently. Mm. Well, all right, so does Ron Hunter know?
You're like, you know, that's like my wife. One of my biggest issues with my friends was, like, when I first met my wife was friends with, like, my friends, and, like, independently. That's how I met her. She was friends with a group of guys that I knew from college. But one of these guys in my group was like a noted dog, you know, but also would not shut up ever about, like, all his exploits and everything, to the point where it kind of turns into, like, all right, dude, like, before my wife even knew me, you're telling her stories about, like, stuff you've done and guys you've convinced to cheat on their girlfriend and everything. This is going to be an issue when I want to hang out with you, you dumbass. So, you know, like, use a little discretion, you boneheaded morons out there, when you're talking loosely and freely about things.
That makes sense.
So that's what you just did to Ocho. Now you can't hang out with Ocho. Ocho's wife isn't going to let you hang out with him.
This was a circle of trust, Mike.
Yeah.
And you burnt it.
Ocho's the last guy who's going to get affected by anything I say on Sports Radio 610.
I don't know.
I feel like Kelvin Sampson is probably used to jokes like this at his expense. I mean, not only is Sampson 63, but Kelvin Sampson has been around forever. He's been a coach for so long.
Right, which is like he's esteemed within the coaching community, which is even worse. Like, some dude that doesn't know you is taking shots at your age, even though he's doing it jovially and everything, but it's still a shot at your age.
At least it's age, and it's not like, Kelvin Sampson, remember that time he was recruiting a little too hard? I do.
Yeah,
he didn't go there. I mean, if he had gone there, then I feel like this would be like, whoa, this would be personal. They'd be running up the score.
score on a 14 seed in tonight's game.
I think it does sound like Ron Hunter's got kind of like a fun personality, though, too.
Yes.
And that's the one thing where I feel like he's just constantly joking and jovial about stuff. And but I choose to despise him for the next 24 hours.
If people don't remember who Ron Hunter is, he's the guy who was on that weird wheelchair contraption a couple of years ago when his kid, RJ, was hitting a bunch of threes in the tournament. He was like slipping off that thing and falling to the floor. It went viral about 3 years ago. Real quick, my expectation for U of H, which had, you know, their best regular season ever, they got to get to the Sweet 16. They got to beat. They got to obviously win this game tonight. It's a 3-14 game, and I expect them to beat most likely Iowa State on Sunday. That, to me, is the expectation for U of H. With this kind of season, with how good they have been, winning the conference outright in the regular season, you got to get to the Sweet 16. I don't expect them to beat Kentucky if they get there, but I expect them to reach the Sweet 16.
And Texas Tech today plays at 12:30, as several of our listeners
hashtag guns
gotten,
up.
And gotten annoyed at us not mentioning it yet.
I picked, I did, even though I normally say you shouldn't fill out a bracket, I did fill out one under pressure at work, and Texas Tech is in my Final Four.